Hello and welcome along to the Let's Talk Racing audio podcast in association with Racing TV. I'm Joshua Stacey and I'm joined by Andrew Blair White as we look back on what was a brilliant weekend of Grade 1 action on Saturday and Sunday. Plenty of talking points. Hopefully I'm going to pick the brains of an absolute judge in Andrew. Andrew, this weekend you went to Punchestown on Sunday. What was it like there?
Yeah, it was a great day's racing. It was quite interesting and informative. Obviously, the John Durkin was a mad race in many counts, and then we obviously got to see the likes of a Fernie Hollow in a beginner's chase. So to see these good horses up close and personal always adds to your day's fun and day's entertainment. And the fact that we were able to go inside and watch some pretty good horses down in Cork on the box as well in between races was just a little bit of a Brucey bonus.
It was really nice to see Willie chuck those exciting novices in, and he's been holding off. He didn't want to run them, and he even said in a piece that he was worried that we maybe have wrapped them up in cotton wool too much. That wasn't the case. Many were very impressive. Kilcrut, on the other hand, was quite disappointing. We'll get onto him later, but we're going to touch on Saturday's action at Sandown first. And the card started with horses that get sent around WhatsApp groups here and there. This horse is working really well, could be anything. And a lot of the time, they're very disappointing and they're not as good as people think they are. Constitution Hill was sent around on plenty of WhatsApp groups on Friday evening. And he was, I think at the time, he was 2-1. And I thought, I'm not going to back Constitution Hill. He's got to be a very good horse to beat Mai Tai. I'm going to let him win at those prices. He travelled so well. Nico clearly thought that he was on a really, really good horse because he didn't panic. He just sat and sat and sat, jumped the last, and away he went. You're looking at that Supreme Novices hurdle market now. Kilcrut, after disappointing, is now 12-1 best price. John Bon, I think he's 5-2. You've got this lad in there, already 4-1 for the Supreme Novices hurdle. We had John Bon last week, Andrew. How does Constitution Hill compare in your mind to the likes of a John Bon?
Yeah, he's right up there, Josh. There's no getting away from that. Now, the fact that the two of them are 5-2 and 4-1 just goes to show you the real struggles of anti-post punting at the moment, because you seem to have to take a stab at these horses before they've even got to the track, let alone win a maiden hurdle or a novice hurdle. The fact, though, he's beaten the right horses and he's beaten them so impressively. You know, as you mentioned, Mai Tai, a good horse. They'll beat Thunder Rocket, Newton Abbott, who's won a few races for Ali. And even Outlaw Peter back in third, who's no bad horse whatsoever, and he was beaten a furlong. So, you know, this is a really impressive performance. As you say, it somewhat came out of the woodwork. There was whispers for him, you know, a day or two before the racing, but nobody had heard of this horse a month or two ago, seemingly. And he's suddenly just kind of come out of things and really, really done very well. So he'll be interesting to see next time out where they go, whether they'll split him and John Bon up. Who goes where? Do they both run in a Supreme? Does one end up going up in trip? I'm not so sure, but you couldn't help but be very impressed with them.
Yeah, I've got a feeling they'll both run in the Supreme. Nicky Henderson doesn't shy away from running two good horses in the race. You've only got to look back on Altior's winning the race. Bavadere was third. So I think they'll both go that route, and it'd be interesting to see how they are campaigned between now and then. I think John Bon is going to run in the Kennel Gate at Ascot on the 18th of December, which would be fascinating as well to see him out. And the likes of Nappers Hill, that race has been earmarked for, and John Bond's going to have a good test. Edward Stone was victorious in the Henry VIII Novices Chase. Third time lucky, was disappointing, seemed to travel very well, but found absolutely nothing and just fell in a hole, really. Edward Stone was ridden slightly more patiently and was an impressive winner in the end. The time was quicker than Grenadine. I know they went a different pace and Chac and Boursois went quite slow in the Tingle Creek, but there was a lot to like, and he definitely looks a better chaser than he did a hurdler.
Yeah, and he was a pretty good hurdler, Josh, as well. Like, I know he ended up getting a bit of a reputation for knocking his head off brick walls, really, coming second and third in plenty of handicap hurdles, but you know, he was a pretty decent stick and he seems to have improved for a fence. He probably would have won first time out at Warwick, but was brought down. Then he did win at Warwick and he did it really impressively. And there's no getting away from how impressive he did it. You do have this just premonition that the race has completely fallen apart in front of him, really. It was the third time lucky back of, you know, yesteryear, really, to be honest. It was all those bad memories of last year coming flooding back into my memory with him. I don't know what the story was there, whether they've gone off. Like, they went off a very honest gallop, and it seemed to take An awful lot of horses at Sandown were finishing quite tired on the weekend, so perhaps the ground was a little bit softer than people thought it might have been. But no, Edwardstone was really impressive. He now probably puts himself right at the top of the English 2 mile novice chase division, but that could still be behind the Irish representatives in that exact same division.
The feature on the race was the Tingle Creek. It was one of the highlights off the weekend, and two horses, the two talking points going into the race were Shaq and Pourssoir and Nube Negra. Unfortunately, Shaq and Pourssoir left a lot to be desired. Was very, very disappointing. Apparently, he's sore behind. But what did you make of that run? Because I know he's a horse that you followed from the very start of his career.
I'd have to concern you about the way he's travelling and potentially his suitability to some of those English tracks with the big hill. But the only thing about Sandown on the weekend was he was beaten an awful long way out. He didn't jump with any sort of fluency, which is usually his absolute bread and butter. He's usually one of the best jumpers of a fence you're going to see. And he clouted almost every single fence down the back. So he was never going to have any chance in the finished article of the race. You'd like to hope it's just one you can put a line through. I don't know, with that being sore behind, you'd have to think he'll have a week or two on the easy list. So therefore, is he going to rock up at Christmas time? I doubt it. I think it'll be a race against time, and potentially we might only get to see this horse maybe back at Leopardstown for the Dublin Chase at the Dublin Racing Festival. That seems the most logical option. And if he was to go back there and maybe get back to his old ways at a track like Leopardstown, where he absolutely loves it, you'd have to think they might roll the dice at Cheltenham one more time. But it was a disappointing effort. There's no getting away from it, Josh. And for a horse that I like so much, to kind of put in such a listless display was quite upsetting to watch. And it wasn't much better from Nube Negra, really, if we're putting it together. I know I said in the preview I thought these two horses were well clear of the likes of Grenadine and Hitman, and I still do believe, at their best they are, but the two of them didn't show up anywhere near their best on the weekend, and Grenadine put that good Sandown form to good use and was a very impressive winner.
Let's then talk about the Irish racing, and Ginto was impressive. I think he's a brilliant horse, and I think next year he's going to be a seriously, seriously good chaser. He's absolutely enormous.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed, Josh, and he's a horse that probably hasn't done it for me up until the weekend, and he was obviously part of that quite historic and brilliant seven-timer for Gordon Elliott on Saturday, where he went through races 2-8 at Navan, which was really something spectacular. But no, this horse was really good. It wasn't a bad little field he was running against there, and he's done it very impressively and very hard at the line. As you say, whether he's the type of horse that's going to win an office hurdle around Cheltenham this year, I'd be very sceptical, because you'd think that the race is probably the Albert Bartlett, but will they even run him in an Albert Bartlett? I know they have bad memories of that race with the likes of Death Duty and No More Heroes kind of bottoming them out, and I don't think Gordon is in a mad rush to run, a horse that he might believe is a Gold Cup horse in time in a race like that. So be interesting to see how he's handled. He was obviously a massively expensive purchase. He's got a lot to live up to, but he's beginning to really mature into that now. And as you say, it wouldn't surprise me in 2 or 3 years' time whether we're talking about this horse in the open 3 mile grade one division.
Very exciting prospect going forward, and he is enormous, and he will. That classic saying, anything he does over a hurdle is simply a bonus, but he's still doing things very well this season. And next up, we had Kilcork on Sunday, and he was beaten at 14-1 on, but he was beaten by a horse called Largy Debut for Henry. And Willie, after the race, Kilcrook disappointed, and he was disappointing, but he just said, I think we were beaten by a very, very, very good horse. What was your take on the race? And do you think the connections of Kilcrook might think stepping him up in trip, or was they just going to draw a line through that and move on?
I think you'd have to draw a line through it, Josh, really, more than anything. He just didn't seem to really travel with the same zest that we saw last year in bumpers, where he travelled through his races so impressively. His jumping was sketchy, it was novice-y, and I'm sure that will improve, but it would need to if he's going to play a hand in the 2 mile, 2.5 mile grade ones down the line. This Largy Debut seems to be one of these horses that only the wise guys knew about, Josh, because I've heard plenty of talk about this horse after the race that there'd been rumours around that this was a good horse, but obviously none of those rumours had made it to me before the race. But he did it obviously very impressively, and you'd have to be you'd have to be very excited if you were Chris Jones. Chris Jones is an owner that's put an awful lot of money into the game. He's had horses with Henry, Garrodo, Lachlan, Willie, Gordon. He's had them all, but he could do with a real good horse on his hands, and it looks like Largy Debut could fill that void, and certainly has to be campaign now with the Grade One races himself.
Were you more impressed with him or Dysart Dynamo in the next race?
Yeah, I was impressed with Dysart Dynamo. I thought Largy Debut was probably the most professional of all the horses at Cork in those novice hurdles. Dysart Dynamo looks to be an absolute tank of a horse. I think he's got an enormous amount of ability. I've obviously put him up for the Ballymore in one of our previous Cheltenham videos. I don't know where they'll go with him, because he seems to have speed, he seems to stay, but he also seems to have his own ideas about the game as well. He was wandering around going into a few hurdles. He lunged at a few hurdles, and then he jumped a few hurdles like he'd been jumping hurdles his whole life. So it was an interesting display. I don't think he was beating a whole pile, but he beat them by 15, 20 lengths, and that's all you can ask for about a horse like that. And especially going into that race, Mullins had three or four fairly hot pots, you know, between Saturday and Sunday, get turned over. So I'm sure it was a welcome relief to see one of those horses go in and potentially deliver on that bumper promise.
There's something about Dysart Dynamo that reminds me of Undersow in his early days. Do you see that at all?
Yeah, there's that slight bullishness and slight kind of just, I'm going to do it my way and leap at things and throw myself at hurdles, and but I've got an awful lot of ability. So yeah, no, it's probably not the worst comparison in the world. But, and he does seem to have plenty of speed.
Do you think they could step him up to 2.5 miles, or do you think he'll stay at 2 this season?
Obviously, I want him to step up to 2.5 miles, but I would say, especially given what's happened to Kilcrutt, there's every chance that certainly his next run will be over 2 miles. And the worry is, if he goes and wins a graded race over 2 miles, that you just stick at that trip.
Concertista made her chasing debut in what looked a fairly strong novice chase, and now she is 7-2 generally for the mare's chase. Immediately after the race, I must admit, I thought that's your mare's chase winner. There you go. She's got plenty of ability over hurdles. You know, she was even being touted in a champion hurdle picture at one point last season. She didn't get the job done at Cheltenham, but she was beaten by a very, very good mare. And now over fences, that division, especially with Ellie May disappointing over the weekend at Aintree, looks to be at her mercy. I was very impressed. Were you as impressed as me, or do you want to see it again?
Yeah, no, I was impressed. Probably not quite as impressed as yourself, because I thought just at times early on in the race that her jumping was a hint sticky, but she gradually got into the race. And I think, you know, claiming the scalp of Magic Days is no mean feat. I think she's a pretty decent mare, and Jeremy's Flame has also had some decent form in the back burner there in Grade Ones in times gone by as well. So, no, it was a perfect start over fences. 7-2 is probably a fair enough reflection, because I think more than anything last year in the Mare's Hurdle, she was beaten by an unbelievable ride by Jack Kennedy on Black Tears, who landed that mare on the line. You know, she was well clear of Roxana, who was a really good mare for the Skeltons. She was just seemingly a little bit unlucky. I've always had small niggling doubts, Josh, about her over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham, whether she quite gets home. I think 2 miles would suit her more, and that would just be a niggling worry for me with the mare's chase. But the quality is there to see, and she's probably the classiest horse that's going to end up turning up in that race.
Enigamine was impressive in the Hillyway chase at Cork. Given Shaq and Boussoir was disappointing, I spoke to Ruby Walsh in the week, and he said that he rode Enigamine in a piece of work, and Shaq and Boussoir was alongside with Patrick Mullins, and Shaq and Boussoir went the best of the two. Enigamine seems to leave it for the race course, and I thought he was very impressive. It's going to be fascinating now how the champion chase picture comes about. Nubian Egra is going to be put away. We'll see him next in March. Enigamine will probably be campaigned like a very good horse over in Ireland, winning those big Grade One races. And you'd imagine he's got that division at his mercy, unless Shaq and Poussoir can come back to his best. And then Shishkin over here, who looks set to run in the Desert Orchid at Kempton on Boxing Day. Enigamine has gone up in my estimation, and it will be difficult, but something still is saying to me Shishkin is the better of the two. What did you take out of the performance?
Yeah, no, I thought he was really impressive. And again, Josh, I'm probably one that's been more sceptical about him from his early days than most, but He seems to have a great following of people that seem to like him, and I can see why, because they went toe-to-toe. They went a proper gallop on soft enough ground. He's a seriously good jumper. He jumped Notebook into the ground. Notebook's not a bad horse, as you mentioned, and he's ended up fighting off the closers. Now, I see some people, there's a few people that love tooting up in Ergamine. There's kind of almost a separate fan club for him, and they say how impressive it was that he fought off. You know, he went again against these closers. The closers were sizing Patsy and Daily Tiger. Josh, these horses will get lapped in a grand annual, let alone a champion chase. So there is an element to it that, you know, he'd have wanted to have gone and beaten them 8-9 lengths. The most impressive thing was obviously him devouring Notebook into the ground. I get that. He'll probably go to the Grade One at Christmas time, especially, as I've mentioned prior, Chacun pour Spas probably a race against time to get him back there. But I would hazard a guess with these two horses, Josh, and you mentioned Shishkin as well, that they're kind of not going to face anything of the quality of one another until March. And it's going to be very hard. I suspect we could be there a week or two before Cheltenham, like we were last year, where Shishkin's probably 5-4, 6-4, and Ergamine's 2-1, and you've kind of got to put your money where your mouth is and pick one of the two of them.
Alaho won the John Durkin, but I want you to talk me through step by step what you were thinking coming around the bend when Asterion Falange was travelling like a dream.
It was a sad state of affairs, Josh. I won't lie to you. I was standing down at the final fence, which I tend to do, especially in the chase tracks in Ireland. I just like the view, especially down at Punchestown. And I'd be lying to say there weren't a few expletives that went about when he came down. I thought he was about to take it up. I know people, you know, I've seen a few people say that he might have won, you know, what would have happened. I, honest to God, and this is bias aside, think he would have romped in. I thought Alaho was absolutely legless up the straight. Falange was full of running. I think he would have done exactly what he did in the Punchestown Festival in that handicap where he went and won by 8 or 10 lengths. I thought he was running all over them. He's just an odd horse. He does things that don't really make sense. I see an awful lot of people, you know, people that kind of bang on about, oh, you know, it's a jumper's game, you got to jump and all that. And I understand he's found himself on the deck a couple of times, but he's actually, and I know people are going to give out to me or be annoyed by me saying this, but he's actually a very good jumper of a fence. He just does strange things. Like when he fell against MVLN, he almost ducked through the wing. His unseat there on Sunday, again, was almost ducking through a wing. It wasn't kind of him being fundamentally a bad jumper, because the rest of his jumping, people will tell you, oh, he can't jump. Well, then watch the rest of the John Durkin. He didn't touch a twig until what he did at 3 out. Now, he's going to be a frustrating horse because he's going to consistently seemingly do this and find a way of losing races. But at the same stage, I still believe there will be a day where he'll put it all together. And that day, I'll be on, and you can imagine there will be a photo of me with a certain American beer that evening.
What's going to happen, though, is you'll be on, and he'll be 5-4 favourite.
Well, that's most likely going to happen. That's happened with Run Wild Fred this year. And I get my big day in the sun, and he wins the Troy Train of 4-1, like an absolute stinking price for a handicap.
Asterion Falange is a very good horse, and he reminds me a bit, they're very different horses, but he reminds me a bit like Master Tommy Tucker, where there's so much ability there. And if he could stay on his feet, and they're both actually very good jumpers, like you mentioned, but they just have that quirk where sometimes they're just headbutt fences. Alaho, on the other hand, he got the job done. I'd say he'd have come on a heck of a lot for that run as well. What mindset are you in with him looking towards the Ryanair, because he's 2-1.
I wouldn't say he's a cert. I think he's well worth the favouritism tag. And I think if he put in a performance like he did last year, no horse in training would beat him over 2.5 at Cheltenham, because I thought that was an extraordinary performance. I just think on Sunday, the entire thing, the way it happened, I don't think would have gone to kind of Willie Mullins' ideal. I think ideally, in a lot of respects, they would have preferred Falange to have jumped on at 3 out and to have gone and won by 8 or 10 lengths, and Alaho could have finished second or third under a relatively kind ride. Instead, he'd been kind of left in the lead again. And, you know, you can't start kind of riding him kindly, you know, when you're two lengths clear in a grade one with two fences to go. So he's had to kind of keep him well up to his work. I think everyone had a fairly hard race that day. So it'll be interesting to see how he's campaigned. You know, is he, will they run him maybe in a Kinloch Bray again at Thurles and try and win a soft enough race and then on to Cheltenham? There's a part of me that wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him again until March.
Fernie Hollow made his chasing debut in a beginner's chase, beating Course Sublime. And at one stage of the race, it didn't look likely, but he toughed it out. He was very professional. And Willie said that it encouraged him a heck of a lot how he dug deep and jumped very well when needed. He's now 4-1 second favourite for the Arkell. And Connections, Cheevy Park, have come out and said that is the race for him, and it would be mad to go anywhere else. So he's probably a likely runner in the race. What did you think of his chasing debut, and what do you think that could mean for Appreciate It? Or do you think they'll just both run there?
Well, I suppose the two of them ran against each other in a champion bumper, so maybe they will both just end up running against each other in 2 miles. It seems to be at the moment that everyone is kind of saying, you know, who's going to blink first with these Mullins pair and go up in trip. But I don't think many are queuing up to face Bob Olinger, to be fair. In terms of Fernie Hollow, I thought it was a solid 6 or 7 out of 10 for a chase debut. He was novice-y to begin with. He put in a few poor enough leaps early on. He got in quite tight to a couple. But you'd have to be really impressed with how he jumped from 4 out to the end of the race. He jumped much better, almost when they were going a bit quicker, which is always a good sign, I think. And perhaps a little bit different to Bob Olinger, which we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. When the taps were turned at Goran Park, he made a few funny enough jumps up the straight. Fernie Hollow was absolutely dead-eye dick up the straight, which was nice to see. I don't know, Course Sublime's the type of horse that does tend to travel into his races and then completely hang fire when the chips are down. So I wouldn't know what to make of all of that. I think it's slightly heightened Fernie Hollow's battling abilities. And I think the horse that came third's a massive eye-catcher, the Devil's Coachman. I know I ranted on about him a couple of times last year. His type of horse I'd love to see maybe in a festival handicap or a grade two, grade three race at Ferryhouse at the back end of the season. He's a nice horse.
Yeah, I thought so as well. And then the one horse that you want to mention, talk to me, Andrew. We had the sad news of latest exhibition last week and his fatal injury. But it looks to me like the Paul Nolans might have a good one.
Yeah, it does look like it. And it just goes to show the highs and lows of the game. Leaving Ferryhouse 2 Sundays ago, probably at rock bottom, really, having lost your stable star. And at least they could all leave Punchestown on Sunday there with a spring in their step and thinking of what might be with this Xander Clegane. I'm reliably informed he was a Game of Thrones character. Now, I wasn't a Game of Thrones fan myself, but this horse did it really nicely. He beat a horse called the Flyer Begley, who actually was within 8 or 9 lengths of Ginto last year, and he beat him 15 lengths, and it was a pretty impressive performance. I think they'll be softly with him this year. I think he probably wants soft enough ground, and he's only a 4-year-old, so I don't think they'll overface him. You'd have to think there's very few options in Ireland once you've won a bumper by 15 lengths. So you'd have to think he's going to have to step up into graded company. You know, would they roll the dice at the grade two at the Dublin Racing Festival? I don't know. That Navan listed race is probably too soon in a couple of weeks' time. So it'll be interesting to see how he's campaigned, but certainly one for everyone to put in the notebook. And the same colours of grade one winner for this yard, John Call. And it's good to see Connections have a pretty bright prospect on their hands.
So that's then the audio podcast. Tomorrow morning, we've got our Cheltenham November/December anti-post update, and also a look ahead to Cheltenham, where My Drogo might just take on Bob Olinger. I'm sure Dan Skelton didn't expect him to be amongst the entries. But until then, have a good one, and we'll see you soon.